small reduction in weight, about 5 to 10% of your body weight, can make your ovaries start to ovulate again. So we're not saying like this huge drastic change, but a little bit of that can really help rebalance some of the hormones. So for people that are not interested in fertility, we really focus on controlling your periods, because if you're going months without having a period, the inside lining of the uterus is getting thicker, and that puts us at risk of something called endometrial hyperplasia or cancer in the future. And so we want to control those cycles to have regular episodes of bleeding and shedding that inside lining, so we reduce that risk.
Life is complicated, but getting healthy doesn't have to be. Welcome to Enlo Health's podcast, Health Matters. I'm your host, Daniela Contreras. Listen to experts and everyday people share real stories and resources to improve the health and well-being of our communities.
Polycystic ovary syndrome, commonly known as PCOS, affects as many as 5 million women in the United States and is one of the most common causes of infertility, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This condition can also cause other lifelong problems for women, like insulin resistance, hormone imbalances, acne, and excess hair growth, to name a few. Hello everyone, I'm Daniela Contreras. I'm here with Dr. Celeste Bailey-Pace from Enlo Health Obstetrics and Gynecology to talk about PCOS. Thank you for being here today, Dr. Bailey-Pace.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's start with, what is polycystic ovary syndrome? What is going on our ovaries?
PCOS, or polycystic ovarian syndrome, is an imbalance of the regular hormones that send a message from our brain to tell our ovaries to release an egg and ovulate. And what we think is happening is that there's an imbalance in the what's called FSH and LH, and that messes up the message to the ovaries so that we don't actually release an egg, we don't actually ovulate, and so then we could go months without a period. Oh. And that's the most clinically obvious sign. The other part of PCOS is unwanted hair growth, is kind of more generally how we call it. But really what it is hirsutism, which means that we have hair growth in places that is not like a typical pattern for female sex individuals, meaning that maybe they're like in this kind of like sideburn area or in the upper lip. And then the third part of it is having insulin resistance. And so people with PCOS typically are at risk of having diabetes. So it's a constellation of those three symptoms: irregular cycles, the unwanted hair growth, and the insulin resistance.
And when do women develop this condition? Does it happen right away after you get your first period, or is it later in life?
Usually we see, like, we would tend to think that it develops pretty early on, but I do have people that maybe they kind of assumed that this was just kind of normal, so they were kind of working through this irregular cycles for a long time until it became very obvious, like they had other symptoms.
Okay.
Usually people come to me because they're trying to get pregnant and they're having difficulty getting pregnant. Oh. And so it maybe all of the constellation of symptoms did not become obvious until then. It basically is, it in theory happens like throughout the life course, but I think people present differently depending on how much they're paying attention to their periods, and also probably physiologic factors that contribute to the severity of the imbalance.
Very interesting. What are some of the causes? Could it be lifestyle choices? What's happening?
No, it's definitely not lifestyle choices. I think that something that's really hard with PCOS is that a hallmark of PCOS is it's really difficult to lose weight or to have like normal weight management. And so I typically like to really emphasize to people that have PCOS that, like, I know they're trying really hard and that obesity is part of the problem. Mm-hmm. And so it's actually, we presume there's some kind of genetic component to why this is happening and not necessarily something environmental that creates that imbalance in hormones. There are certainly things we can do to improve the symptoms of it that are related to our lifestyle, but that, like, at the root of the issue is something biochemical, something genetic, and not something from outside forces.
Very interesting. You touched on this a little bit already, but can you go again over what are the symptoms or the most common symptoms that people with PCOS experience?
Yeah. So typically In the past, we used to use ultrasounds to diagnose PCOS because we saw on the ovaries lots of follicles. Mm-hmm. And follicles eventually will release an egg, and those kind of arise every month and then they go away. Then we said, we actually don't need to use ultrasound to diagnose PCOS. We can diagnose it clinically, meaning if we have someone coming in complaining of irregular periods, mm-hmm. and we're not talking about like, well, sometimes I get my period every 28 days and sometimes it's every 30 days. We're talking about skipping at least three periods or having four periods in a year. That would be more of the irregular cycles we're talking about. And then the second part is clinical features of hirsutism, of that hair growth change mm-hmm. That usually people notice on their own. And then the third part is insulin resistance, which we might pick up on a lab test, like a hemoglobin A1C, mm-hmm. or we might see clinical signs of insulin resistance with darkening of the skin in certain places called acanthosis nigricans. And that is a little bit less common because it's a little bit more severe insulin resistance that occurs with, but sometimes we do see that clinically.
Interesting. And what happens if you have maybe one of the three or just two of the three?
We are looking for two of the three to make the diagnosis.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very interesting. On social media, we hear a lot about how PCOS might be related to gut health. Is this true?
Yeah, interesting research is coming out within the past few years relating gut microbiome to like hormone imbalance and how that might relate to PCOS. I think that in the next like 5 or 10 years, we'll see a lot more research that involves an understanding of our gut microbiome, the bacteria that we coexist with, as important parts of our disease processes. And so PCOS is, like a lot of other conditions, kind of being explored in that way. Overall, the big picture is that choosing healthy lifestyle choices and really paying attention to that balance of healthy amount of physical activity and nutrients as far as high fiber diet, lots of dark leafy greens, protein, and minimizing simple carbohydrates are all going to foster a positive gut microbiome that can really help our health in the long term.
Great. That's good to know. What should people do if they're experiencing one or two of these symptoms that you mentioned? Like, what are some of the first steps to take?
So it really depends on what your desires for future fertility are. If mm-hmm. you're somebody who's coming to me because you want to get pregnant and you're having trouble because mm-hmm. you haven't, you know, had a period in 3 months, we're going to want to talk about like possibly ovulation induction using the first step would be weight management or medications. And when I say weight management, we've shown that small reduction in weight, about 5 to 10% of your body weight, can make your ovaries start to ovulate again. So we're not saying like this huge drastic change, but a little bit of that can really help rebalance some of the hormones. So for people that are not interested in fertility, we really focus on controlling your periods, because if you're going months without having a period, the inside lining of the uterus is getting thicker, and that puts us at risk of something called endometrial hyperplasia or cancer in the future. And so we want to control those cycles to have regular episodes of bleeding and shedding that inside lining so we reduce that risk. So that's typically what we approach the irregular periods with. The second concept with the unwanted hair growth is we usually start with birth control pills to help regulate our hormone balance, because that oftentimes can help with the different patterns of hair growth. And if that doesn't work, there are second line therapies that we should not get pregnant on. So it's important for us to understand that we have to, you know, be in one track or the other as far as pregnancy versus not pregnancy and what our goals are. And then we can also look at insulin resistance and risk of diabetes. And that would require an appropriate workup to make sure that we don't meet criteria for type 2 diabetes and that we're shifting lifestyle habits to help reduce that insulin resistance.
Very interesting. I've heard a lot lately of how women who suddenly started taking Ozempic and now they can have babies.
Absolutely. And that is definitely what we're looking at. We've seen that in the research too. Yeah. So definitely a good PSA is if you don't want babies and you're starting Ozempic, you need birth control.
Yes. And then you mentioned this a little bit also. How is this condition usually diagnosed?
It's diagnosed clinically, so we don't have to have a blood work or a test. It can be based off of your symptoms mm-hmm. and what you're coming to see me 4.
Oh, cool. And what are some of the treatment options? You already mentioned, like, it just depends on whether you want to be mm-hmm. a mother or whether you just want to treat.
Yeah, exactly. So the goal is, if you want to achieve pregnancy, we're looking at a little bit different tack, and we're focusing for the moment on getting ovulation back on track with a little bit of weight loss and, if needed, medication to help with that. If you're not looking to get pregnant, then we really want to keep that inside lining of the uterus thin and control it with birth control pills or progesterone IUD or Nexplanon, which would be something that goes into the arm. So those are all kind of options. As long as we've got some progesterone on board, we're going to keep that lining of the uterus thin. And that's an important part of preventing the risk of endometrial hyperplasia or cancer.
So this is definitely something that women don't want to just live with. You need to seek help.
Yeah, I would say that across the board, if your periods are not happening every month, then we should think about why that's happening. That said, it's okay to be on a birth control regimen, whether it's an IUD or a pill, and not have a period because you're taking progesterone that's keeping the uterine lining thin. But if you're not taking anything like that and you're not having a period more or less every month, then we should talk.
Okay. Can this condition be cured? Is it considered cure at a certain point?
No, it's part of like a constellation of a chronic disease management type picture. Mm-hmm. We think that it kind of is incorporated into things like metabolic syndrome, which includes people that are at risk of like diabetes or high blood pressure. We see some of these kind of like symptoms all kind of overlap. And so with that, the PCOS is something that you have forever, mm-hmm. as long as you're having periods.
Oh, interesting. So once you reach menopause, does it go away?
Once you go through menopause, your body's not as dependent on this estrogen and progesterone balance. And so the symptoms of PCOS go away. You might still have other like impacts like type 2 diabetes mm-hmm. that you're dealing with. But the hair growth and the changes in your periods would not be a part of your current disease picture.
Very interesting. Is there any ways that people can avoid developing PCOS in the first place?
No, because it's like something that happens through your genetics, and it's not like an environmental exposure.
Perfect. And is there anything else that you would like to add that I didn't ask you?
I don't think so.
That's great.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for being here today, Dr. Bailey Pace.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thank you all for tuning in. If you'd like to listen to more Health Matters conversations, visit www.enlo.org/podcast. If you have a topic you would like us to explore, let us know. Email us at healthmatters@enlo.org. See you next time on Health Matters.
Thanks for listening to Health Matters. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe, give us a thumbs up, or share it with someone who might benefit from the information. Health Matters is a production of Enlo Health. Thank you.